Welcome in, sleepers, and we are back on beat, and you're going to hear a familiar voice today. You might have heard him last week, John Shipley. I feel like the conversation that we had last week set the table for what we're about to talk about and things that happened in Jacksonville the last couple of days. So how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I'm staying busy, but I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad, man. Thanks for coming on, because I know you're getting pulled in 1,000 directions right now. So really appreciate your time to talk about this. As many of you know, very early this morning, Leonard Fournette was released, and obviously a lot of us in the fantasy world or everybody has their thoughts on where he's going to land, teams that could be looking at him. Everybody, I'm sure, is running to the waiver wire. If you're in the middle of a draft, you're looking at Rykel Armstead right now, most importantly. But, you know, you have Armstead, you have Thompson, you have Ozigbo. You know, people probably don't even know who James Robinson is. So obviously everything is very fresh. There's a lot of things that could happen on the field. There's free agents out there. But, I mean, what is your initial take on all this, John?
Yeah, no, I mean, my real initial take is I feel like the Jaguars did this for a couple reasons. I feel like, namely, that they knew going into this offseason, even not even going into this training camp, but going into this offseason, that Leonard Fournette would not get a second contract with the team. So I feel like they knew he's not in the long-term plans. They have two young backs on the roster. They like maybe spend a year trying to see if either one of them is the answer instead of just giving a guy 300 carries that you have no intentions of re-signing. That's at least the impression that I got from the trade. I also think him being waived. And I also think him being waived kind of shows just how bad of a selection it really was in 2017. I think you can make an argument it was really one of the worst draft picks of the last 20 years, if not longer. Just not only the fact that they took a running back fourth overall who had middling production before being waived 3 years later, but they took him over quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. They took him over safety Jamal Adams. They took him over Christian McCaffrey. And they took him over all these people because they wanted to give Blake Bortles another year to show what he could do after he was just the worst starter in the NFL in 2016. So just from a process standpoint, this waving just shows how bad of a pick that was. And from an on-field standpoint, I feel like it is them saying, let's see what Armstead and Ozigbo can do.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I look at that too. And, you know, to your point about just having the two younger running backs see what they could do. And obviously they can address that in the offseason. You know, there's going to be some talent coming out. Also kind of really sets the tone for what this team is potentially going to do and how much more they feel about Gardner Minshew, to be honest with you, because obviously, you know, you just said a few seconds ago, Leonard Fournette was seeing a very high volume of carries. Out of all these guys, obviously we know Chris Thompson is a dude that's not built for a lot of carries. Rykel Armstead, we don't know what we're getting out of him. Ozigbo, we don't really know what we're getting out of him. So it's going to be kind of like, they're going to be feeling everything out. And, you know, guys like, for example, Devonta Freeman are out there. He was never really, from a carry standpoint, mainly because of his health, he was never a high-volume carry guy. So this could just be a huge mixture in the backfield all year round. And realistically, this could be a high level of target volume for Chris Thompson. Now, I still think, going back to what we talked about last week, that Chenault's going to be involved with that. But, I mean, the way I look at it, initial standpoint, Armstead's going to be the lead back as far as carries go in that offense. We talked about his receiving standpoint too, but there really hasn't been a preseason or anything like that, because I'd really like to see how a battle between him and Ozigbo would play out for the volume of carries.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the big thing is I could really see them doing a running back by committee type approach, or even doing what the 49ers did last season where they have a couple different starting running backs throughout the season and they kind of just ride whoever gets hot. I still get the feeling that Armstead kind of gets that first crack week one, like, you know, first play of the game. I feel like he's on the field, but I do get the sense that they're going to try to give them both ample opportunity and just see which one gets hot, which one can fit Gruden's offense. And we've seen Gruden use multiple running backs before, so it's not like we haven't seen him do it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be very interesting. I know a lot of people, and I'm one of them, you know, in the fantasy world that, you know, stashed a guy like Rykel Armstead or Devin or Divine. I don't even know how to pronounce his first name, to be honest with you. But it was like, well, like, these are the kind of people that, oh, man, because this is something people were anticipating, whether he was going to be released this year. The fact that they didn't pick up Fournette's fifth-year option, was he going to play out this year? And then what do they do next year? So it's going to be very interesting. And then one more thing I want to talk to you about, because I know you're very short on time, and this is going to be a shorter episode, everybody, is we had the trade yesterday too. Yannick Ngakoue moved on, and, you know, he went over to Minnesota. So that's huge on that defensive line, losing that defensive end like that. I mean, that guy just created havoc off the edge. He could even come inside too. So that's big. And looking at this depth chart, there's really not much there.
Yeah, no, I mean, look at it this way. He only played for them for four seasons, and he's second in the franchise history in sacks. You know, I mean, he was nothing but productive from the second they drafted him. So anybody trying to act like Ngakoue isn't a loss for the Jaguars, they'd be gravely mistaken. I mean, if Ngakoue was on the field in week one, he'd be one of their three best players with DJ Chark and Josh Allen. So losing him is not a good thing at all for the 2020 outlook. And you look at the fact that they got just a second round pick and a conditional fifth round pick for a 25-year-old pass rusher who was in the Pro Bowl a few years ago. And it's just not great value. I feel like signing him last year, his contract would look like a bargain at this point if they had just gotten that deal done last year and then have him and Allen for the foreseeable future. But because they messed that up with Ngakoue, they kind of had to use the first-round pick this year on a defensive end. You know, I mean, they picked Caleb Von Chason out of LSU with the number 20 overall pick, and he's pretty easily going to have to be an impact player year one because he's already slotted into that defensive end spot on third down across from Josh Allen.
Yeah, you got him and Allen, and then you got Miles Jack, right? Miles Jack coming from the weak side, Josh Allen's on the left side. So, yeah, you're throwing a rookie in there to take the place of a guy that's just been an absolute stud. And, yeah, you're right. The return on value of that is literally insane for a guy of that caliber.
Yeah, you can look at it in the sense of, hey, they used a third-round pick on him, and a few years later he got a second and a fifth. But the way I see it, I'd rather have a player that you know is productive than having a late second-round pick. You know, I mean, I've seen them use second-round picks, and they're not always a guarantee to be a productive player.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting to see. And, you know, obviously that's something that offensive coordinators, especially in that division, are going to love, I'm sure. I mean, Josh Allen, don't get me wrong, that guy is going to wreak havoc. Miles Jack can wreak havoc as well. But, you know, you have one less guy because you don't really know what you're getting out of Chason, and he is just being thrusted into that with no camp, probably not a whole lot of time to really be implemented in anything. So if this guy's going to be anything his rookie year, we probably won't even see it until the back half of the season. So, you know, that definitely probably gives offensive coordinators a little more comfort when running the ball, especially up the middle, you know, because they can move those guys all over the place, inside, outside, and really kind of take away the edge or take away the inside as well. So, yeah, that's definitely interesting. All right, man. I know you gotta cut out of here, but just real quick,
of course.
Who are you feeling as a number one running back? I mean, we talked about first crack is gonna be Armstead, but
I'll go with Armstead, but I'm not married to the answer. I'm gonna go with Armstead as the week one number one running back. If you ask me who's gonna be it by the end of the year, I feel like Ozigbo is a good fit for Gruden's offense, but Armstead flashed a lot as a receiver last year, so it's tough. I'll lean Armstead right now, but it's close, man. They're both talented guys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more if Armstead can stay healthy. I'm going to agree with you. He's going to be the week one.
That's his thing. He has to stay healthy.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. But all right, everybody, that's all we really have for this one. You know, again, John's busy guy right now, a lot of stuff going on in Jacksonville the last 2 days. So, you know, and we wanted to get this information out to you guys because, again, he's boots on the ground, man. He's out there on the field. Obviously, all this news broke, and this is what he does. So, John, again, appreciate the few minutes had coming on here, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And, you know, we'll look to the next time we do this.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. be a longer episode next time.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So until next time, you hear our voice, guys. Y'all stay easy.